seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to Deuteronomy 32 and verses 11 and 12. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32 and verses 11 and 12. As an eagle stoweth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32 and verses 11 and 12. As an eagle stoweth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. Those of you who are present this morning will know we looked closely at this first part, as an eagle stoweth up her nest, and how soon we become sleepy, how soon we need awakening out of sleep. And the Lord knows how to stir the sleepy sinner up. He knows how to stir the unexercised soul up. And he knows what means is best to do it. It's all in his hand. And you think, as the eagle does stir up her nest, she knows exactly what the result will be in those young. And so the Lord does in his people. You see, we often look at the things that seem to stir us up and cause us much concern, and we wonder what the issue will be in them. But the wonderful mercy is, the Lord knew the end from the beginning. He knows the end from the beginning in what you may be in today, and me. But this stirring up will not be pleasing to the flesh. But so often we find it profitable to our souls. You look at the times where the children of Israel were in the wilderness, and the Lord sent many things to stir them up, that they might set their hearts and minds on the celestial city, on Canaan. And how we need it, don't we, today? As an eagle stirreth up her nest, and then we looked a little at the how she flutters over them, and fluttereth over her young. And I particularly looked at it this morning in how she was teaching them how to fly. And we need heavenly teaching, don't we? Really, a real child of God, you know, is a learner right to the end. I often think of some of the old saints, you know, they used to speak in the closing days of their life how they were still learning wisdom's lessons. You see, the real child of God won't know everything, won't profess to. They need heavenly teaching. Just as those young eagles do. But I want us help to go a little further this afternoon. Before we go, may we not be left to settle down in the nest of the world or the nest of natural religion. So often we will have to pray like Hezekiah, you see. He knew what it was to be stirred up by all what was come upon him. And you look how his heart was directed away from himself and directed heavenward to look alone to the Lord. But then he goes further in our text. He says, spreadeth abroad her wings. She spreads them abroad for several reasons. One is to protect her young. We did hint at it this morning, the wonderful protection that she gives them. And do we not need in this solemn dark day the Lord's continual protection of our lives, of our minds, of our souls? You see, those young eagles are open to all danger. We sing in one of the hymns, don't we? Dangers of every shape and form that buffet the child of God. There's the dangers that Satan puts in the way, the many snares. You think of the dangers there were in the pathway of the children of Israel as they journeyed from Egypt. There were fiery serpents. There were scorpions. There was drought. There were many enemies that beset them in the journey. The way was full of dangers. Dangers of every shape and form, the hymn writer said. But the Lord wonderfully, you know, as with the beautiful illustration of the eagle, spreadeth abroad her wings to protect the child of God from all these dangers. And what is very precious and was to me when the text came was this. These were wings of love that were spread abroad over these young eagles, you see. And you think of the wings of love being spread over the child of God. God's everlasting love. His wings there over them. And may we be favoured to feel them over us. Because of the dangers there are. Those wings of love. Wings of mercy. Wings of compassion. Spread abroad over the real child of God. Spreadeth abroad her wings. And do you feel to need them to this afternoon? You see, it's not only reading this word or speaking a few aspects of it. It's to know it and to feel it. You see, these young eagles, they know what it is to feel when that dear mother eagle is near. They feel it when she stirs up the nest. They feel it when she's fluttering over them. They feel it when she spreads her wings forth. She's very near them. They are continually watched over by her. And oh, that we might feelingly know this, you see. It's a wonderful thing to have a real feeling religion. I was going to say even further, it's vital. And we can only feel this, and the young eagle can only feel this if they got life. And the child of God can only feel this if they've got life in their souls. It doesn't mean anything to the professor of religion or those that are dead in trespasses and sin in the world, but it means everything to the child of God. Spreadeth abroad her wings, but then taketh them. She spreads abroad those wings for them to climb on her back, and she will take them. Oh, she will. She'll take them. She'll carry them. But let's pause a moment on this, take them. You know, the Lord will, like the eagle, take his dear people out of the nest of the world. We looked at it and stirring the nest up this morning. But he'll take them out of worldly company. He will take them out of worldly conversation. He'll take them out of worldly friends. He'll take them out of sin. And he'll take them to himself to view a little while they're here in this earth of the glories there are in the dear Redeemer. Do you know what it is when the Lord has come in the sanctuary and he's took your poor heart heavenwards and you've had a beautiful view by faith of the dear Redeemer? He taketh them. And just as the dear mother eagle takes those young ones from what they are in, so the Lord will take his dear people. And of course, really, the final issue, and I speak this in much love, will be when he takes us from this earth. You know, really, with the child of God, it's so different than the death of the world and the ungodly, isn't it? I said in prayer what the Lord said in his word, friend, come up higher. And the Lord comes down, and in his love and in his mercy, he takes the poor sinner out of this earth to eternal bliss, doesn't he? Come up higher. Friend, come up higher. And when the hour comes, that's what he will do, you see. He takes them. He doesn't confer with them. He doesn't confer with any man, does he? He doesn't say, well, can you spare them? No, he just takes them. And this young eagle, as the mother takes them upon her wings, she doesn't confer with them whether they've got to go. They've got to. She takes them. And oh, may we know what it is, well, here below, to know a few times when he takes us up out of our trouble. I think of your late beloved pastor once saying, and it was very sweet to me at the time, he said, you know, there are times when you're in the depths of trouble or the depths of affliction, and the Lord comes and he takes you and he lifts you above it all, and you look down on it like looking down on the clouds. Very sacred spot that is, you know. When he takes the sinner up above it all, and they can look down on all the sorrow and the clouds of darkness and distress, the world cannot understand it. Maybe doctors or physicians or nurses, as they sit by the bed of a soul that's in the depths of affliction and they see them taken up out of it all for a little season, looking down on the affliction. I've seen several of the Lord's dear children that are in deep affliction, and I've even had the nurses say, we cannot understand how they can be so calm and passive and submissive to the affliction. The reason is, you see, because the Lord is with them. And he's given them that sweet submission. He's taking them and lifting them above it all. Now, I seek to be led into this, but you see, it's a reality to the child of God. As an eagle stirreth up a nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them. And then this beautiful word, beareth them on her wings. I understand that the young eagle would never fly if the mother didn't take them and she brings them to the point where she lets her wings fall and they have to learn to fly themselves. But she carries them out and then she lets them go and then she will go down under them to catch them. The viewing of it to the natural eye is a wonderful thing. But look at it spiritually. I don't know what you may be in today, but do you feel the need? One preaches this because one feels it so much. The need of the Lord to bear us on wings, on the wings of his love, to carry us along, you see. This young eagle has no power to carry itself to start with. And nor of you and nor of I, have we? We need the Lord to bear us up. What do we read in the book of Exodus concerning the children of Israel? And we read this, the Lord said, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians. That was when he destroyed them in the Red Sea. The Lord did it, you see. But then he says this, and how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now that's what the Holy Spirit has recorded concerning the children of Israel. I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. And you see, what did the Lord do when he delivered the children of Israel at the Red Sea? He carried them through. And this is what is set forth in this closing part of verse 11. Beareth them on her wings. Now, are you in something you need the Lord to carry you through it? You can't get yourself through, can you? They couldn't get themselves through the Red Sea. The Lord carried them through. He divided the sea before them. And he carried them through. And we think of that beautiful word too in the prophecy of Isaiah. I think it's that closing verse of the 40th chapter. And may we know the reality of it ourselves. He says here, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Oh, to be carried along. It's like a dear mother with a little child. Its legs become weary and weak. It cannot keep up with her or walking. And she picks it up and she carries it along. And so the Lord does his dear people. Especially in times of affliction. And he carries the sinner along in it all. Born on eagle's wings. On those wings of love. I cannot get away from that this afternoon. On wings of love, you see. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And he'll carry you on those wings of love, you see. And then he'll carry you on the wings of love and when you're faced with adversity. So often the wind is contrary to the child of God, isn't it? Satan roaring. Enemies are great. You know, it wasn't long with David, was it? For he got through one trouble. The Lord carried him through it of opposition from the Philistines and others. But then he hadn't gone far before the adversity came again. And really, that is a sign of life. When everything is coming against you, you go to a river and you look at the fish in it. The dead fish will go with the tide, the flow of the river. A living fish always faces the current. It's against it. It proves the life. And you think about it spiritually. You look at the dear Saviour himself from the very moment he was born in Bethlehem's manger. Satan was at work. He got in Herod. And you look all the way through the Saviour's life from Bethlehem to Calvary. Those 30 odd years it was continual opposition from Satan and from the agents of Satan. But oh, you see, the dear Saviour knew what it was to be carried himself on the wings of love, and yet he was verily God, but he was verily man. He knew what it was to feel, just like the child of God does, when Satan opposes. You think of those 40 days and 40 nights of bitter temptation in the wilderness. We have one day or one hour or 1 week of bitter temptation, we think it's going to crush us. 40 days and 40 nights. Now how will he carry us? Well, he'll carry you through, poor soul, on those blessed wings that don't fail, that never become weary. They hold the sinner up. They hold them on. Beareth them on her wings. And then you think in troubles. What does the hymn writer say? I think we sung it on Tuesday night. Unless it was Thursday night rather. In that beautiful hymn, when trouble like a gloomy cloud has gathered thick and thundered loud. He near my soul has always stood. His loving kindness, oh how good. And in your troubles of soul or troubles of circumstance, he'll bear you on his wings, poor soul. Wings that are never fail. Wings that are never sink. Beareth them on her wings, to carry them on, you see, and to carry you through. But oh, you may say, what about in the swellings of Jordan, when death comes? He that's carried the child of God through life will carry them in the swellings of Jordan. Oh, he will. We think of that beautiful promise, I often quote it, but it's so vital to the child of God. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And those everlasting arms, poor soul, it won't matter how low you sink, underneath. You know, it's been very sweet to me on a few occasions. You know, we sink ever so low sometimes, don't we? But underneath, it won't matter how low the child of God sinks, or how low they may sink in the swellings of Jordan, underneath are the everlasting arms, bearing them on her wings, carrying them, the soul, right through to eternal glory, you see, to be with the dear Redeemer forever. What a sweet prospect, isn't it? The hymn writer said in the My Soul Anticipates the Day, would mount up on wings and fly away to joys beyond the skies. Till he come. And you see, the hymn writer took it up, lo, he comes in clouds descending. He comes to carry his dear people home. He comes right down to carry them home. Oh, my great aunts, they helped nurse my grandfather when he was taken, my mother's father. He died the year before I was born, so I don't ever remember him, but I always remember my great aunt saying about his death. And when they asked me to take their funeral, they said, there's one thing we long for, and that is to die the death that he did. Now, he had cancer of the liver, and of course in those days there wasn't the medication there is today, but there's no doubt the dear man suffered much. But in all his weakness, as he came down to the river of death, they said he was so blessed that when his breath left his body, they said it looked, they felt even his body was going to go to heaven. It rested right off the bed. They never forgot it, you know. They said they thought even his whole body was going home to glory. Of course, that wasn't to be. It's got to be laid in Mother Earth till the resurrection morn. But you see, the power of the blessing was so blessed that even his very soul, as it left his body, it almost took his body with it. Carried, you see, home to glory. The hymn writer said, the day, and may it be so with us, will shortly come, and none of us know how soon, when we, with sweet surprise, shall be with Christ at home, with him above the skies, with him to live, with him to reign, and never, never part again. Beareth them on her wings. Well, may the Lord favour, before I go into the next verse, favour us to feel and to know those wings under us to carry us. And may it be our fervent prayer, each of us, that the Lord would favour us to feel those wings carrying us, the wings of love, of eternal, everlasting love carrying us through life and carrying us home to God. But then we read So the Lord alone did lead him. Dear old Jacob, like us, was a poor sinner, a poor man. He needed leading. Father, those of us this afternoon that continually need the Lord to lead us. He says, so the Lord alone did lead him. You may have wondered why we read together that 24th chapter of Genesis. And I awoke this morning thinking on this text that seemed to drop in very sweetly in trying to pray that we might what to read this afternoon. And that beautiful 24th of Genesis seemed to drop in very sweetly. What the servant said. And when we think of the leading of the Lord, he going before, leading his dear people, so he knows exactly what they've got to go in. What path, what sorrow, what sadness, what affliction, what joys, what happiness. He goes before them and he leads them. Now you think of Abraham's servant. Let me just help name a few things. One is this. How he was led to pray that Rebekah might come forth. And you look how the Lord wonderfully led him out to pray. It's a wonderful thing when the Lord leads our heart to pray in a certain way. And to pray that she that would come forth, the woman that should be for Isaac as his wife, should come forth from the well to the well. And Rebekah came forth. The Lord gave him exactly what he was led to pray for. And then the Lord led him in the steps of great concern about this matter. It was no light matter to him. And there may be things that concern you and concern me this afternoon. And we desire the Lord would lead us in them. And you look how the Lord led him along. And what does he say? And this is why I read the chapter together we did this afternoon. He said, I being in the way. Now the Lord had put him in the way. And if he's put you in the narrow way, poor soul, he'll lead you. Oh, he will. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Notice the wording, I being in the way. You, does it concern you and concern me this afternoon that we're in the narrow way? In the way. In Psalm 107 we read on Thursday, didn't we? He led them forth by the right way. And you look at dear Abraham's servant, how the Lord led him forth in that right way. To the house of my master's brethren. He led him to the Lord's people, you see. To the house of Laban and Bethuel. But then do we not need that leading of the Holy Spirit? Oh, and to be led in the sacred ordinances of the Lord's house. To be led in the ways of the Lord. To be led along with his dear people. Look how the dear disciples were led to follow their master. Oh, that we might be led to continually follow him in his sweet commandments and ways. Now, let me come low, child of God. Do we not desire the Lord to lead you? And to lead you into his sufferings? Oh, to be led to the Garden of Gethsemane, to have a little glimpse of the great darkness and sorrow and anguish of the dear Redeemer there. To be led there by faith, to view. Think of the dear Redeemer, where he bid his dear disciples to tarry while he went yonder and prayed. And we read he went a stone's cast and prayed more earnestly. Oh, you think of the dear Redeemer going before you, leading you, and he goes a stone cast and prays more earnestly. No man ever went that stone's cast, you know. We often think our way is hard, but you think of the dear Redeemer. We sing, don't we, his way was much rougher and darker than mine. Did Christ my Lord suffer, and shall I repine? But oh, to be led to view, like Thomas did, those pierced hands and pierced side, but then to be led to Calvary. The hymn writer knew it, didn't he, when he said, I saw one hanging on a tree in agonies and blood. And oh, to view by faith the dear Redeemer in all his agonies. But the point is this. What the child of God wants to know, and may the Holy Spirit reveal it, that it was for them he suffered, bled and died, for you and for me. The hymn writer said, didn't he, tarry his leisure then, wait the appointed hour, wait till the bridegroom of your souls reveals his love with power. The time of love will come when we shall clearly see not only that he shed his blood, but each shall say for me. And this is what you long for, isn't it? To feel that he had suffered, bled and died for you. That would melt the hardest marble of your poor heart and mine, wouldn't it? The Lord alone did lead him. Notice the word in this. He didn't say that any man led him. It was the Lord alone led him. And you think of the places he led dear old Jacob. The places of trouble, the places of distress, the times he come where it was the end of everything and the Lord was leading him. It's not the path that we would choose or any child of God would choose, but it's the way the Lord leads his people. But then I just want to hint at this. We need leading out of self to himself. You know, it's my continual prayer, Lord, lead me out of myself to thyself. You know, we're often looking at our troubles, our darkness, our distress, our afflictions, and we're sinking, aren't we? But oh, when he leads us to view what he endured. What he endured, no tongue can tell, to save our souls from death and hell. Oh, to be led out of self to himself, and led out of all the sorrows to himself, to view what he endured. But then, of course, he'll lead the child of God home to glory. He led them into the promised land, didn't he? They didn't bring themselves there. The Lord led them. And there are many ways we could look at this blessed leading. The Lord alone did lead him. But then it is personal. Him, it refers to Jacob particularly, as this is what the Holy Spirit has recorded in the life of Jacob. Summed up in a few verses. The Lord alone did lead him. May it be said of us, the Lord alone did lead him or lead her. And can you not look back and see the wondrous way the Lord has led you? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It's a wonderful mark of sonship. But then he says, and there was no strange God with him. You know, the children of Israel, as they went through the wilderness, many times they were plagued with strange gods. But not so with Jacob. The Lord had stripped all the strange gods away. You think of the gods they tried to take with them and the children of Israel, and the Lord stripped them of them all. There was no strange God. You know, may we never be left to have the strange God of self with us, the strange God of man, the strange gods of this world. Jacob had a pure religion. God was the author of it, the finisher of it. And that pure religion only wanted the Lord alone to be with him. He didn't want any strange gods. And nor were you and nor will I. And Jacob was favoured to have the Lord alone leading him. And we read, and there was no strange God with him. What do strange gods do? They bring us into bondage. They bring us into trouble. They lay us very low because they're just gods of this earth that are perishing. But oh, the God of heaven, who alone led Jacob and led him home to glory. When he gathered his feet up in the bed, didn't he, to be no more, he could look back and say this, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil. Bless the lads. Amen.